We continue in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. We're at the end of Shaul's response to David, showing him that he is innocent. And Shaul says, people will learn from you, and people will emulate you in the future, and that's why you will rule in this world, and you will rule in the next world, and your rulership will exist forever. And now, he shoveli b'Hashem, make an oath to me by Hashem, that what? Im tachris azari achroi, that you will not cut off my descendants after me. Im tashmi nashmi mi beis avi, and that you will not destroy my name from the house of my father. So basically, he's making an oath that he should never destroy him anymore. Now, the commentaries ask, did this exactly happen? Because we know later on in Shmuel Beis, the Givonim, there was a big hunger, and when they found out the reason for the hunger, it's because after the events of Nov, the Givonim, who were the false converts to Judaism, that Yeshua deemed them to be water carriers and wood choppers. These Givonim, who supplied the city of Nov, died as collateral damage to Shaul's actions. And when David found out about it, so he asked the Givonim, what can we do about it? The Givonim, the only way they could be assuaged was by killing a number of the descendants of Shaul, which David allowed. So we'll see in a minute what David swears for, and you'll see why this is not going to be a problem. Chavbeis, Vayishava David l'Shaul, and David swore to Shaul. So it appears, according to the Malbim, that he did not swear about the children, he only swore about Shaul. Because of this historical problem. If indeed he would have made an oath regarding the children, he wouldn't have given over the children. That's how some of Forshim learn. And the Malbim says, but not necessarily, he could be made an oath for his children as well. But really, David didn't do anything. It was the Givonim who did it. The Givonim said what the death sentence should be, and David was only just allowing them to do it, but he never really killed them. Be that as it may, David makes an oath. Vayelech Shaul beiso, Shaul goes back to his house. V'David v'anashav holuch al hametzuda, and David and his friends went back to the fortress. Now, I don't know about you, but I found that very unusual. If Shaul just was proven that David doesn't hate him, and that and he tells him to take an oath, he confesses everything. He says, "You're right, I'm wrong. Finished." So then, David and Shaul should have gone back together to Shaul's palace, and David should be continuing to play the harp or whatever. It's incredible. You would not expect this to be the ending of the. Of the story. So, the only interpretation I can give you here is from the Chazal. They give us a little insight here, but it really is interesting because one second, there's nobody else, if I'm not mistaken. Just look again to make sure. Nobody comments on this pasuk. None of the major Makros Gadolos Mefarshim talk about it. So therefore, we have to look into Chazal. Because otherwise, this makes things very difficult. Because you'll see in another chapter or so, that it just says that Shaul goes and takes David's wife and gives somebody else, and Shaul just goes after David again. So it's like nothing happened. like what's going on? He just swore. He just said, you're right. Please swear. Please. You'd expect that they would be coming back together now. They're friends. So says the Yalkut Shimoni, and obviously Yalkut Shimoni is picking up on this. So it says Kivan Shaholach Shaul. One Shaul left. Amr lo Gvurov. His warriors said to him, V'chil v'shvil shalo hargecha b'mara hayet tzadik. Because he didn't kill you in the cave, does that prove he's righteous? Yodeahaya, he knew. Shila as lacha mu'uma, that if he would have killed you in the cave, we would have come in and eaten, we would have roasted him alive and eaten him. V'shamu lehem Shaul, and Shaul listened to them. In other words, after all that David said, after all that he proved, it's like unbelievable. He said, what's the proof? What are you talking about? If he would have killed you, then we would have found out very quickly. And you know, and we would have destroyed, we would have killed him. That's the only reason he didn't do this. And in one other place, the Musar Nevi'im gives us, again, to see that this is indeed so. Going back to Pasuk Beis, it says like this, and back to Pasuk Beis, when David says, Va'avi ro'o gam ro'o, that you should surely see. So, the Medrash Rabba says, Mipnei ma nenash Avner shenera galidei Yoyev. What did Avner, it's one of Shaul's generals, what did Avner sin that he should be punished, that he was killed by Yoav? You'll see later on that Avner is killed, and it doesn't seem to make sense why Hashem allowed him to be killed. The answer is, Rabbanan Amrin, the rabbi's answer, Neshol hiniach l'shol ispais l'David. He did not allow Shaul to become, appeased by David's words. And then, because on this pasuk, Shenemer, Va'avi, Ro'o, Gam Ro'o, father, you should surely see. So Amr le'Avner, Avner said, Ma'at boy min gilgui didoch. So he says, what's he proving from the tzitzis? What's he proving from the tzitzis? Besira huadah. He says, you know what? He's saying that he cut off the tzitzis, not proving anything. What are you talking about? You got your coat caught on some thorns, and when you got up, it made a rip, and finished. That's all. So we'll see. So you lied about that. We'll see how he died. He died in a very underhanded way, where it was cloaked as well. So you died in by disregarding the proof from the cloak. So you'll see what's going to happen as well. So that's clear. So other medrashim on that pasuk and Yud Beis rather, it says avira e gamre. Because in other words, why is David saying a double expression? So even the Gemara says, the medrash says, from here we see a person has to honor his father-in-law like his father, because he's calling Shaul his father. That's one thing. And Rav Yehuda says, avira e amr l'shaul. He said to Shaul, v'gamre e amr l'avner. He said to Avner. He's talking to Avner as well. But from this pasuk, the Medrash is able to extract the fact that Avner disproved the whole thing. So again, we continue to see the power of Lashon Hara. The power of Lashon Hara got Shaul into this mess, and we had this moment of being able to be appeased. It's the power of not necessarily Lashon Hara, but it's certainly an evil tongue that says, you know, that it was a pretty convincing argument. And he says, nah, don't make anything of it. And again, I guess Avner felt threatened, because Avner was a loyalist to Shaul. Not necessarily, he was afraid that if David would take over, David would bring his own generals. He's going to be out of a job. So therefore, it suited him to keep Shaul in his place, even though he probably knew that Shaul was wrong, because remember, he would not kill the city of Nov himself when he was asked to. But he didn't want to give up his position, probably. And therefore, he denounced the proof of David. And therefore, it's like nothing ever happened. Power of Lashon Hara. It's unbelievable. Okay. Perek Chafei is a long perek. Hopefully it'll go quicker than a shorter perek. The next perek is twice as long as this perek. Pasuk Aleph. Okay. Pasuk Aleph. Vayomos Shmuel. Shmuel dies. Vayikavtzu chol Yisrael, and all the Jews gathered together. Vayispudulo, they eulogize him. Vayikberuhu bebeso barama, they bury him by his house in where he lived in Ramah. Vayokam David, and David got up. Vayered el midbar Paran, and went down to the desert of Paran. Again, you see, I mean, obviously, you know, it's not clear. It's not clear if David went to the funeral. Not clear. It just says that David, when he went back to the fortress in the last parak, now he's gone to Midbar Paran. I guess he feels he has to be further hiding or whatever. The Malbim, there's a lot to discuss in this pasuk. So the Malbim picks up on why is David getting up like that. So he says, Malbim says, "Kol yimei chayei Shmuel, as long as Shmuel was alive, lo nigla hadavar sheshmuel mashach as David. It wasn't revealed that he had anointed David. He did it secretly, and nobody did about it. Why? Ki yare milagalos. He was afraid to reveal it, as he said earlier, if Shaul's going to find out I anointed another king, he's going to kill me. So I don't know how the Malbim proves this. He just says, and when Shmuel died, it was revealed, either through Shmuel himself, maybe on his deathbed, he told people they should know that David is the king, or maybe his students afterwards, because then there's nothing to worry about Shmuel's safety. And therefore, word got out. So once word got out, so on top of the fact that Shaul accepts the negative response of Avner, now you can imagine if according to the first say, that Shaul didn't know that he was anointed, now he knew he was anointed, so David now was further concerned for his safety from Shaul. So while they were engaged in the eulogizing Shmuel, he went to the Midbar Paran to protect himself even more. Because just another point, another nail in the coffin, as it were. And if Shaul hears now that Shmuel anointed David, he'll even, you know, be upset with him even more. That's how the Malbim, that's what the Malbim adds over here. The Mitzudos says, that the fact is, from the Mitzudos it appears that David never went to the funeral. And it could be where he was staying in the desert by Ein Gedi. There were people going back and forth. You know, maybe there were tourist guides taking people to Ein Gedi. I don't know. Oh, no, I'm joking. So anyway, there were people going back and forth to eulogize Shaul. People heard Shmuel. People knew about this. People were traveling back and forth. And therefore, he was afraid that one of Shaul's men would find him. And therefore, he went further to hide in Midbar Paran, and therefore it connects his going to Midbar Paran to the death of Shmuel. So you have the Malbim saying, now there's further reason for Shaul to hate him, and now the Mitzudas is saying that it's likely with so much traffic of people going back and forth, people would know where David is hiding, and therefore they tell it to Shaul. So from the Mitzudas it clearly is, David did not go to the funeral. And it probably was a good thing he didn't go to the funeral, because his life would have been in greater danger. Now, Chazal also mentioned that from the death of Shmuel until the death of Shaul, from this point on, it's 7 months. Just if you want to know exactly the time frame over here, what's going to happen from now till Shaul's death is 7 months. And we'll see that'll come back to us as well. And finally, the Musar Navim brings us from the Yalkut Shimoni again. And it says like this. It says, if you notice carefully, this eulogy is a bit different than the eulogy and of how people dealt with the death of Yoshua versus how they dealt with the death of Shmuel. Because what does it say? It says over here, "Vayikbetzu kol Yisrael," all the Jews gathered together and mourned for him. What did it say by Yoshua? It says, "Vayikbar oso bigvul nachloso." They buried Shaul, Yehoshua, by the border of his inheritance, mitzafon lahar Gosh, to the north of Mount Gosh. And remember, we said Gosh means like a volcanic mountain, because the mountain was volcanically erupting, wanting to kill them all, because they were lackadaisical in the eulogies of Yeshua. They didn't treat his death with the greatest of respect. Therefore, lekach nemer. Therefore, over here it says, "Vayamushmol veikvatzu kol Yisrael v'isvadulo." He died, and everybody came and eulogized him. Okay, to show you that. Well, David didn't have a chance. He couldn't. He was in danger. It means everybody. I mean, everybody came. I'm sure there's everybody. There's always somebody. Somebody sick doesn't come. Whatever. Somebody's a reason not to go. But it was like kimat. It was a tremendous outpouring to him. So you're seeing the difference of why that's so. So, And the commentary says, what's the Medrash wanting to, what's the Yalkut trying to teach us over here? It's coming to teach us that even though you're obliged to eulogize a great person, but we never find that there's an obligation to gather and make, you know, only the people who live there are obliged to do this. You know, in halacha, you know, if a great tzaddik dies in your city, then everybody in the city is obliged to come to the funeral, to give him kavod. But you, from miles and miles away to come, we don't find this. It's enough that, you know, everyone can make hespedim. Here's the point. Everyone can make hespedim in their own cities. You don't have to all go to Ramah. Everybody, you know, when word gets to your city, says, no, we're going to stop. We're going to mourn for whatever. Mourn for a week, whatever. We're going to say eulogies. We're going to this, we're going to that. Where do you see that you're obliged to go to the city where the funeral is? We don't find this. Therefore, it says, since the Jews were punished that they were lazy with the hesped of Yeshua, therefore they made extra efforts. In other words, it was many years before, from the death of Yeshua till Shmuel. It was quite a long period of time. It's almost probably 400 years. But people remember the last time. In other words, clearly to these people, the last great person of Shmuel's caliber to die was Yeshua. And they probably had a tradition that, you know, Yeshua, we didn't mourn him properly. And we almost got wiped out by the volcanoes. So therefore, now that a real tzaddik again has died, so therefore we have to eulogize him properly. They went out of their way to go from all over around to eulogize. That's point number one. Point number two, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni says, Mishalo Naslo. It was from himself they gave him. What does it mean? Because we know that Shaul went on a circuit, had a circuit court. Shaul was different than any other leader. Shmuel. The other leaders, they said, here's our court. People want to come to us, they come to us. Shmuel wasn't like that, we said. Shmuel went around from town to town and it was really very physically taxing for him. And he came to everybody. So now, that's what Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni is telling us over here. He's saying the fact that Jews got all together is not like the first opinion saying because they were afraid if they don't eulogize him properly, they're going to get punished. But rather, it was the Jews out of a love for Shmuel. And they feel it's the least we could do. If Shmuel bothered himself to leave the comforts of his home and travel all around under great difficulty, and therefore he was a visible personality. He touched everybody's heart. You know, lahavdol, you know, if a politician goes stumping through different cities, right? And everybody says, ooh, he touched me, shook my hand, this, I, right? So anyway, I mean, Shmuel didn't do it for those reasons, but the fact that he came to all the cities, so you saw how much he honored everybody. So therefore they figured, listen, the least I could do, I remember Shmuel once came to my house and he said, he encouraged me to do tshuva. The least I could do is come to his funeral and go to his funeral. So there's two different reasons. Either it's for those who were afraid that they'd be punished if they are lax in their proper eulogizing of Shmuel, or others who felt a debt of gratitude to show respect for him. Okay. Now, one more point, as we'll see as it leads into the next pasuk. Maybe we'll just read the next pasuk quickly, and then we'll say this chazal that goes on this. So everybody's in a sad state. Everybody's eulogizing him. It's really a sad thing. However, in the very next pasuk, it says, "V'ish b'ma'on." There's a person who lived in Ma'on, u'maseu b'Karmel, and his business was in a place called Carmel. V'ish gadol ma'od. He was a very big man in terms of being very wealthy. Below Tzom, he had sheep. Shloshes alofim, 3,000 sheep. Ve'elof izim, and 1,000 goats. Ve'hib igzoz es sono b'Karmel. And it was as he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. We'll find out more about this fellow. But now we're talking about this very wealthy guy who's now very, very busy with the shearing of his sheep. So now, the Yalkut Shimoni continues and connects the first, says, what's the connection? You know, it's the first pasuk, it's on its own. It's one little part, its own parsha of one pasuk. Shmuel dies, everybody eulogizes him, fine. Now we're going to the next story of this wealthy guy. We'll find out who's novel. But anyway, so what's the connection? So Yalkut's like this. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hashem says, Hakol tzavchim v'toivchin al nisosha shel tzadik. Everybody's crying and hitting their heads and eulogizing this tzadik. The whole country's in mourning. For Rosh Hazen, this wicked man, Yeshev Oisei Marzichim. This guy's, you know, sitting and doing business. He's shearing his sheep. He's like nothing happened. L'lamdecha shekol ha-kofar b'gemilus chasodim ki'ilu kofar b'ikr. To teach us that anyone who is kofar, who denies an act of kindness, is as if he has denied the existence of God. In other words, you know, if the whole country is mourning, if you recall, we mentioned at great length when we were learning Yehoshua at the end, we answered why were people so lax in Yehoshua's funeral, if you recall. Because we know that Yehoshua died, I'm not remembering the exact date, right after Pesach. It was during the harvest, and that we explained is the busiest time in Eretz Yisrael. Your whole parnasa depends on it. So I said that L'chaira, it seems that if the Jews were God-fearing, they just went to the Mishkan. They all left their places for Pesach, Oyla Regal. They just get back home, and now they find out that Yeshua passed away, and I think it's a big schlep to go again, and our parnasa is in big danger, etc., etc. Yeshua himself, see, what comes around goes around. Yeshua himself was lax in the total conquest of Eretz Yisrael. For whatever reasons, we justified whatever. He was lax in conquering Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Mita Keneged Mita, when he dies, the Jews will say, you know, it's too hard for us to go back a second time. So therefore, he didn't get a big funeral. So, and Hashem was upset with this. So now the Jews, you know, I guess, Jews had been more established in the land, and they, you know, had more bitachon, and they went. So now everybody goes, and this guy doesn't. What's with you? I mean, it's all the Jews except Novel. Novel's like nothing, no big deal. And a guy who's kofar, a person who denies that he has to do kindness, it's like he's a kofar baker. It's like he denies God's existence. In other words, the reason to go to Shmuel's funeral is an act of gemilas chesed. It's an act of loving kindness. And Novel, I don't have to do an act of loving kindness. There's enough people at the funeral. It didn't affect me in any way. And he's saying somebody like that is a kofar baker. Guy really doesn't deny Hashem's existence, even though we'll see in a minute, even though he was very wealthy, very powerful, and a very capable man. But kindness was not his specialty. And if a person's missing kindness, it's not far to go to find that he doesn't believe in God either. There's no such thing as a person who doesn't do kindness and believes in Hashem. If you believe in Hashem, how can you not do kindness to other people? On so many levels. If you believe in Hashem, then you know that Hashem is kind. And if Hashem is kind, He wants you to be kind. If you believe in Hashem, then you believe in His Navi. You believe in Hashem, you believe in His Navi. When Shmuel dies, that's, you know, it's like an extension of Hashem, as it were. It's the greatest representative of Hashem, greatest ambassador of Hashem in the world. And he dies. You have to show respect. And if you don't have kindness for that, then you don't believe in Hashem. And we'll see from his subsequent behavior that he continues to fall in this area. So we'll see what happens to Nafal at the end. It's not going to be a good ending for him. But you already see what kind of personality that he is.
So at this point, where did Hazal pick up the fact that David did not go to Shmuel's? I don't understand where they got that from.
Well, if you see that right away at the end of the last parak, that when Shaul goes home and David has to go to the fortress, Why didn't they go home together? Because he knew his life was still in danger.
Okay.
So if his life is in danger, he can't very well go to a funeral. You could be sure Shaul told the soldiers, keep an eye out for David. If David comes, we'll kill him. How can he go to the funeral? That's like such a public place to go. He's going to get killed instantly. Of course Shaul went. Shaul's the king.
It doesn't say anywhere.
It says everybody went. Everybody went.
That would include David.
When we say everybody, it means everybody who was capable of coming. Obviously, you see, Novel didn't come either. This other guy didn't come. We talk about Kol Yisrael, it means Kimat everybody went. If there's 2 million Jews living in the land of Eretz Yisrael, you're like, oh, nearly 2 million came. It's like, everyone doesn't mean every single person. There could have been a few people who were single, but it means it was a tremendous outpouring. It was a major deal, and nearly everybody came. Nearly everybody came.
And David didn't.
He couldn't go. His life was in danger. How could he go? We already explained.
Gave two. That he went. One of the commentary here.
Well, I don't know. I don't know who.
Tell us, Rama.
Okay, I don't know. I don't. Mitzudas clearly doesn't learn that way. Clearly doesn't learn that way.
Because then it says, and David arose, which means...
Yeah, from his hiding place in the Mitzuda. He was in the Mitzuda, at the end of Pasuk Chaf Beis, he was in the fortress, right? He was in the fortress. He was not with Shaul, he never came back. So he left from the fortress, and now he went further into hiding, into the desert, because he realized his life is even in greater danger than it was before. Yeah, that could also have been part of it. Yes, that could also have been part of it. Right. But I don't. Listen, Pikuach Nefesh comes first. You have to save your life. And he knew his life was in danger. Okay, I don't see anybody who, from these two comments, they say that he did. He didn't go to the funeral. If you say it's a Kalas Rava, it could be. I don't know what your English doesn't do with the other commentaries. He doesn't bring Mitzudas. I'm surprised he hasn't made Mitzudas to it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. This is what we call a non-consequential point in the story. It's just, all you're looking at now is historical point. But it's not really any great muster to derive from this.
No, the consequence is that in Joshua's funeral, when people didn't go, they were punished for
it. No, but it was a tremendous amount of people didn't go. It was a very slim turnout. You know, when a great rabbi dies in Eretz Yisrael, hundreds of thousands of people come. Does it mean every single Jew? Not every, but a tremendous outpouring. That's what we're saying. It was a tremendous outpouring. You don't get hung up on numbers. Well, three people didn't show up. That means not everybody went. What are you talking about? You're seeing millions of people at his funeral as opposed to Yeshua. It's just thousands. So, okay, a couple of people didn't show up. Doesn't mean everybody didn't show up.
Yeah, a couple of people don't show up. It's some of David.
Okay, he has a price on his head, and it makes sense he can't go. Okay. It makes sense he can't. I understand. You go to a funeral to get killed? Is that going to help anything?
So he still doesn't trust Shaul then after...
Well, we just explained why. We just explained why. Right after he proved to Shaul that he was friendly with him, they still can't make peace. So that's it. There's no peace. He's still a fugitive. Unfortunately, he's a fugitive. He can't go to the funeral. I don't understand why. That should not be a hard concept to internalize here.
Because David had an army with him. He wasn't just...
Yes, a whole 300, whole 600 guys to take on a king's army of like 300,000.
That went to the funeral.
I'm sure the soldiers all, everyone, he had a royal funeral.
Okay.
If everybody came, it means Shaul came, his armies came, everybody came. And David's not going to come to such... I don't see what's so hard to understand. Okay, the Malbim explains a little bit more. That this Pasuk Beis is only here to enhance, to show the negativity of this fellow, because you can't say that he didn't know who David was by saying that the guy was from Maon, because that was where David was in the Midbar Maon. So okay, doesn't matter, I don't have time to stop. So because he lived in the same area, and his business was in Carmel. So don't say, and you can't say, because you can see in a minute, David's going to ask him for help. He's not going to help him. And you can't say he couldn't help him because he was a very rich man. And he's shearing his sheep. So he's got a lie. He's a wealthy guy. So we're saying, number one, this fellow knows David HaMelech. And number two, he's very wealthy. And this will all compound the guilt of this fellow, as you'll see now, for what David requests and what he is turned down with. Pasuk Gimel. Vishema Ish, and who is this man that we have been describing? Novel. His name is Novel. Now, the word Novel itself is a very disgusting word. Because if you recall, the famous Ramban says in Parshas Kedoshim that, you know, Hashem says a mitzvah, we have to be holy people. And Ramban goes to great detail to say, you know, why doesn't the Torah describe every single detail of what it means to be a holy person? And he says it's not possible, because even a person keeps the whole Torah, but it's possible he could be what we call a naval bereshus haTorah, naval, a disgusting person with the permission of the Torah, right? A person can eat glad kosher food, but eat like a pig, right? And eat in a sports bar and all these things for dinner, and says, "Where does Torah say I can't do this?" you know, you're right. I guess Torah doesn't say you can't do that, but a good person wouldn't do this. That's the idea of kedoshim to you. So we use a quintessential example of a disgusting person within the realm of keeping, of being an Orthodox Jew. It's called novel. You know, nevela. It's like a dead carcass. Novel, disgusting thing. So he had a name that trying to describe who he was. So ish novel. There was this fellow novel. And he was so, Mimus is so widely known. I don't know if Novel was his actual name. I can't imagine a little baby boy, Vikorei Shmo B'Yisrael, Novel, that his name should be called amongst the Jewish people, disgusting. But in other words, that was his nickname. People, it was known as the miser, this, it was not a nice fellow. So I don't believe his actual name was Novel, but that's what, that became his nickname. Right? It'd be crazy to say any parent would call his kid Novel. So I said, call my kid Hitler. You don't call my kid Esav. You know, you don't call him Novel. Novel is not a nice name. So that, I guess that's what he was known as. B'shem Ishto Avigail. On the other hand, his wife's name was Avigail, and she was known the opposite for her niceness and kindness, etc. And as they were known, as it says, Va'isha Tovas Sechel, this woman was of a good Sechel. She had her head on her shoulder. She understood things properly. V'fas Tor, and she was a very attractive woman. Va'ish Kusha, and the man was hard. V'ra Malolim, and bad actions. V'hu Cholvi, Cholibi. He was a Cholibi. We'll have to see what a Cholibi is. The Malbim explains what's the double expression. Vish kosheh v'ra malolim. He's a hard man and of bad actions. So kosheh means kosheh betivo. By nature, he was hard. He had a nature. Hashem gave him a nature. He was a difficult person. V'ra malolim, and his actions, were also, not of proper types of behavior. So, the Malbim points out, it could be a person can have a bad nature, but doesn't necessarily do bad things, because he can do good things as well. You know, bad nature, but he can also do some nice things. He can work on himself. He can work on his nature. He can try to change his nature. Then, as a person who could do bad actions, but not necessarily has a bad nature, and either way, it's possible a person could end up doing good things. But, either way, he says, somebody who has bad actions, but he doesn't have a bad nature. Sometimes he does good things. Sometimes he'll do righteous things because his nature could, be inspired, and turn out to do good things. Maybe he'll have mercy on someone. Maybe he'll have fear of someone. As you'll see with Novel and David over here. You could, even if you normally don't have, maybe you'll have compassion, but he was bad on both ends. Bad on both ends. He had a bad nature and bad actions. Right? In other words, he, a bad hashkofa. Really the way Malmuth says, Ram alalim, he says, bitchunasav hamusoriim, in terms of like ethics. In other words, he had a bad nature, Bechlali was a tough character, and his ethics were not of the highest caliber. And so he had nothing going for him. He was like a real, real rotten guy. And finally, Vahu Chalivi, what's Chalibi? So there's two interpretations here. Mom says he was a descendant of Kalev, Chalibi, from a descendant of Kalev, from Yehuda, which is David Shevet. And we'll see in a minute, that's going to be quite important in this storyline over here. The Rabbag adds on and says, Kalibi, he's something to say, Lerov Achzariyaso, because he was such a cruel person, his nature was like that of a dog. And what do you know about a dog? Now, another thing, I say, what do you mean? Dogs are loyal, right? Dogs are loyal. But there's something else about dogs. Shishonim b'nei minam. They hate other dogs. You notice dogs bark at dogs. Dog fights, whatever. I mean, they might be loyal to their owner, but they hate each other. When other dogs come, they start barking at them. They're not going to let another dog eat from his gravy train. Okay? They're not so nice to other dogs. They're nice to their masters, not nice to other dogs. Vafa poshal yigur machalom. And it said, lotus a dog, even though there's a lot of food, if another dog comes, he's going to bark and bark. And there's enough food for both of them. And that's mamish what Nabal was in terms of his miserliness. He was like a dog. Interesting, very interesting, the connections. David, what did he say to Shaul? Why are you chasing after me? I'm like a dog. Right? What did we explain over there? That was, where's that in Pasuk?
Because he was loyal to him,
right? Achare Kelev Mace. Right? A trusty servant who always was a dog can protect his owner, right? But now that he turned him, pushed him away, he now is like a dead dog because he couldn't do it. So on the one hand, a dog can be very loyal. On the other hand, a dog can really be very upset with his competition. So again, you're seeing the contrast, as we'll see shortly, between David and Nabal becomes another lesson about David, where there's the aspect of being like a dog. And David is too, there's a nice aspect of being like a dog and a bad aspect of being like a dog. And David took the good aspect of being loyal like a dog, but not the bad aspect of being jealous of a one who's in a similar situation. So he was never jealous of anybody. He was always helpful for everybody. On the other hand, Nabal had the negative aspects of a dog who was jealous of others, and also he's also from a prominent tribe in Sheva Yehuda, Kalev ben Yefuna, a very prominent fellow. And you'll see shortly how this is all going to play into the storyline. We're not going to see it today, but you'll see it next week. As you'll see that Nabal is going to turn down a chesed to David himself. So you'll see why we're building up the case against Nabal. Yeah? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Dalet. So that's, we're setting up the scene over here. So the whole world is mourning for Shmuel. Nabal, doesn't bother him at all. I got business to do. I got a shear. It's again his stinginess. You know, I'm going to waste my time. I can make a lot of money. Shearing the sheep was a very important day. You made a lot of money that day. That determined it was the busy season for the shepherds. If you sheared it properly, you had wool, very expensive wool, made a lot of money. He says, I'm not going to give up this opportunity just for a funeral. There's enough people without me. You see what kind of terrible nature he is. And obviously the whole world's that. And David is not there. David is engaged with Nabal because he cannot go to the funeral. Pasuk Dalet. Vayishma David b'midbar ki gozeis Nabal asono. David hears in the desert that Nabal is shearing his sheep. Okay? So, and therefore, now he's having a simcha. Maybe it's a simcha, at least his heart will be happy with him. And maybe we can, benefit from him a little bit. Hey, Vayishlach David asar narim. David sends 10 lads. Vayomer David lanarim. And David instructs the lads. Alu Carmela, go up to Carmel. That's where he's shearing the sheep. Ubasam al Nabal, come to Nabal. Ushaltam lo bishmi lishalom. And ask for him in my name, in peace. So, number one, he's trying to appease him in three ways. Number one, in terms of the covet of David, who's sending him, and he says, give him a blessing. He says, shal shalom, ask in my name, in shalom. And you're going to see how you ask in shalom, pasuk vav. Vamartem and say, ko lechoy, say like this, lechoy. Va'ata shalom, peace should be unto you, ubeischal shalom, and your house should be peace, v'chal asher l'chashom, everything you have should be in peace. So he's saying that you should kol lecha, you should merit to live for the coming year. That's a bracha. Va'ata shalom, and now he's including three shaloms that should be within a shalom for himself, a shalom for his family, and a shalom for everything he has. And let's give him nice greetings, say nice words. It's a happy time, give him nice greetings. And now, and in Zion, v'ata shamati, and now I heard, kigozim loch, you're shearing. So, ata haroi masher locho hayoimanu. Now you had shepherds that were with us the whole time. And what he's basically going to say, lo hechlamnu, we never embarrassed them, lo nifkad lohem uma, kol yimei yosem b'Carmel. And never lost any sheep over in Carmel. What David is telling me, what actually happened, is that Nabal had shepherds. Nabal wasn't with the shepherds. He left the shepherds on their own. And David has a gang of fellows. And number one, David needs food. Needs all kinds of stuff. And, you know, if highwaymen or people who need food, they can justify, you know, stealing a couple of sheep here and there. So saying, number one, we never took anything. We never had any problems. We never shamed your shepherds. We never caused any aggravation. And number two, we protected your shepherds from wolves and lions and terrible things. And we were a good security service for you during this whole time. And Pasuk Ches, just want to finish this idea. Shalos Nerecha, go ask your youths. V'yagilu, they're going to tell you. And these young fellows will find favor in your eyes. Yom Tov, Banun, that we're coming for a Yom Tov. Give from what you have in your hands. To your servant, Levin Chadovin, and to your son, David. And he's just saying, you know, we're hungry, we're starving. So can you please give us a little food? You're having a Yom Tov now. So, some say, we'll see next time, Kel Yom Tov, Banu, he says it was Erev Rosh Hashanah was. And we need to make a Sudas Yom Tov. So anyway, so give us a little bit to eat. That's what David wants. It's not a major request. The guy's wealthy beyond means. He's just celebrating a big simcha, shearing all the sheep. And the shepherds say, and David's going to say, listen, we helped your shepherds, and that's part of the simcha is because of us. We never asked for anything. So please, just give us something to eat. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's not Stam. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. Can you imagine someone knocking on the door Erev Rosh Hashanah? You know, I don't have any food for my family. And you're a wealthy guy. You know, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. You can't give them up something to eat it. So this was the request. We'll review this a little bit more next time, and we'll see what his answer is.